You're listening to Insights Encore Conversations on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Katrina McPherson is a talented and award-winning writer who was born in Scotland, but moved to Davis, California in 2010. Her Dandy Gilver mysteries are her most popular, 13 books now and counting. But this year, she released the second novel in a new series, The Last Ditch Mysteries. These books follow Lexi Campbell in her life at the Last Ditch Motel. In April, I asked Katrina about the various series that she's working on.
I started something new, and I felt as if I was in charge again. So that's a yes. You've nailed it. Absolutely. Because the difference in feeling when I started a new series must come from the fact that I feel that everyone who's followed the long series over 12 books owns them as much as I do.
I think in one of the reviews, somebody wrote, "I can't wait to see what Katrina McPherson has up her sleeve this time." And that speaks directly to that.
Oh, well, that's very kind. So always in the mystery genre, but I've got a historical detective series. It's very traditional and modern, quite dark, kind of maybe shading into gothic. Suspense novels, and then this comic series, which was raising the stakes for me, because if you say this is a humorous novel and no one laughs, you're in trouble. So I was quite scared.
How do humor and mystery go together? How are they paired typically? Or is this just because of that quirky, funny side of your own personality?
So there's two different kinds. There's the very cozy, whimsical murder mysteries that I sometimes have trouble with because they're light-hearted and breezy and cheerful, which murder is not. But then if the humour is a bit darker or sicker even, Carl Hyacin would be right at one end of this continuum. I think that's fine because violent death does shade into, you know, shameful giggling sometimes. I mean, that's Oliver. That's her dark secret, isn't it?
Cozy is another word that's used, though, in describing this book series.
Oh,
readers are saying cozy.
Yeah, I know, and that worries me because I think I'll get letters. If they're expecting something cozy, then I think there are things in this book that might make them jump and drop their knitting. So we'll see.
Another aspect of this that's new is you're really writing from being here. Like, you've settled into being in Northern California now, and your perspective is the world around you.
Yeah.
That's different.
Very much so. The first Lexi Campbell novel, I wrote it when I'd been here for 5 years, but I wrote it about all the mistakes I made and the things that puzzled me when I first arrived. Mm-hmm. And that was where she was, because she'd just got here. And the second one, she's got her feet under her a bit more, and she thinks she understands, and she's got more of an opinion about quite a lot of California life. So I didn't get any complaints the first time, and I thought I might have because I did poke, well, quite gentle fun, but I did poke a little bit of fun at California, but with warmth, and I'm very happy to be here. So we'll see if California people will accept Lexi Campbell as she is now, a few years in, and
her
what she's got to say.
Under her, by the way, means on a houseboat this time.
Yes.
Which is a fun twist. Yeah. Do readers do that? Do they write to you and scrutinize the flow of the mystery or the clues or the characters? What do you get back from them?
People pay compliments, which is lovely. They complain about things that they say a character would never do, which I find quite interesting.
Do you remember an example?
Not with Lexi so much, but the historical series that I write, the detective is called Dandy Gilver, and people are very interested in her marriage, which is a successful early 20th century upper class marriage. It's an alliance that's produced children, and then they go their separate ways. And people are very upset about the fact that she settled for this and want to advise her to get divorced, which she would never do. It would just be social death and terribly embarrassing and not the done thing at all. But I get quite a lot of correspondence.
Do you engage? Do you explain back why you wrote what you wrote? Or
yes. I usually say that I'm not in charge of what happens, that I'm following the characters where they go, and my expectation is that she won't do that. So I kind of duck out of responsibility.
You have referenced this before, so let's take a character, for example, unfolds in you hearing the voice, and you either find or use a photo, too.
of, for example, Lexi or Dandy Gilbert.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I only just realised I was writing something, a little guest blog to promote this Scott and Soda, and I realised I've got no idea what Lexi Campbell looks like.
Oh.
Someone said, why not write a post about personal style and the style of this world at the Last Ditch Motel? And I thought, what a great idea. So I wrote a bit about my, you know, Doris Day tribute hair colour and all that stuff. And then I wrote about the other characters that live at the Last Ditch and got to Lexi and thought, I haven't got a clue. I have no idea what she looks like. So that's something I'm going to have to think about. But in the third book, I want her to start dating. I'm going to send her into online dating. So I think I'll have to think more about her clothes and how she puts herself out there. And you're laughing, thank you, because I think there's a world of fun to be had when she starts to date.
That's a very relatable arena for her to be in, especially after this book in which she essentially wants to date a dead man. So,
yeah. And she's really feeling that she is the only single one in her group of friends. And they're very kind, but even their kindness is beginning to grate.
Am I the only person who initially thought Last Ditch Mystery Series meant that you were out of ideas? So you went to kind of a last ditch effort to write something new?
It came from such a small thing when she'd got out of the police station. It's 2 o'clock in the morning on the 4th of July and she's trundled under an underpass and she gets to the only motel she can afford and it's called the Last Ditch Motel. And she thinks, oh, perfect. But it was such a small moment. And then the editor chose to call the series after that.
You're listening to Katrina McPherson. Many of you might know she lives in Davis. The second book in this series is Scott and Soda. Scotch and Soda is really easy to say, but this is Scott and Soda, the little play. So let me get you to the book then. Why don't you read a little bit from Scott and Soda? And of course, if there are murders, there are autopsies. Do a little setup.
This is a conversation between Lexi and Todd and Roger, who are her neighbours. They're both doctors, but for reasons that are explained in the first book, they live in a room in the Last Ditch Motel. That's enough of a setup, right?
I think that's good.
Lexi's asking, sorry, I can't do the California accents, but she says, what came out in the autopsy? He was wearing a Halloween costume, Roger said. Right, I said, the jimmy wig, that's a kind of tam o'shanter with integral ginger hair that Scottish people wear. A jimmy wig stapled on. No, said Roger, under his clothes. He was wearing a second skin costume. It had chest hair and fake junk and a fake bullet wound. It was on under his sweatshirt and the mom jeans, made of some kind of Nerf style stuff, neoprene maybe. It was a fake, I started to say much too loud. Then I bent over and whispered instead, that was a fake bullet wound? And the cop fell for it? Oh my God, she's never going to live this down. She thought a fake bullet wound in a neoprene onesie was a real bullet wound in a guy's actual flesh? Wow. Well, 4 days in the water can do strange things to a corpse, Todd said, trying to be fair. But he wasn't in the water 4 days, said Roger. That's another thing Maurice told me. Maurice works in the morgue. He spent 3 days happily decomposing at an ambient temperature, outside but not exposed, and only then did he hit the water. He spent 3 days lying out in a ditch somewhere without anyone finding him, dressed in a fake birthday suit, junk and all, with a hat on, and no one reported it, I said. So what did he die of if it wasn't a bullet wound, said Todd. Sitting, Roger said, not lying, Lexi, sitting. From the pattern of hypostasis in his butt and lower legs, he was sitting up. And he wasn't out in the wilds, there was no rodent damage. He was somewhere pretty sheltered. How? I said. How could he be sitting out for 4 days? What, like at a bus stop on a park bench? I know Quent was not the community it once was, but that's nuts. I think, said Roger, this is only my theory, but I think it's seasonal. Huh? Said Todd, as in calendar specific. I was stumped, but the light was dawning on Todd. Oh my Godisha Corsage, he said. He was sitting propped up on someone's porch for Halloween.
Sitting dead as a Halloween decoration.
I've often thought that the best place to do a murder is to murder someone about the 30th and then just leave them sitting on a porch while you run away.
So clever. Your audiobooks are really popular too. And it's fun because people get to hear you reading just like you did in your Scottish accent.
Oh, I know. It's such a skill and I'd love to do more. But I just launched a newsletter and I gave away a short story, which was great because I got to write it and then give it to people and there was no editorial process. And Andy Jones, who I'm sure you know,
yes, from UC Davis,
said, why don't you, instead of giving away a little file with typing on it, why don't you give away a recorded short story? Mm. And that could be your prize for everything forever. I thought, what a great idea. He said, all you need is a microphone and you go into a cupboard, what would you have said, a closet with lots of clothes in it. And I thought, well, I can do that. So that's my next project.
But an audiobook doesn't work for everybody. There are authors you want to hear read their story. You want to hear Michelle Obama read her book.
Oh, yes, I did.
You know,
and it was heaven.
I think that a murder mystery with the Scotland connection written by you really begs for the voice.
Not these ones, though, because as I say, I can't do the California accent and
Have you tried?
Oh, yeah.
Can I hear you try?
Okay, well, I live in the valley. I can do the uptalk. I can do the vocal fry if I have to. I can switch. A friend's got a dog. He's passed away now, but she had a little dog called Harry, H-E-R-R-Y. And I had to say his voice in an American accent because when I said Harry, he didn't know that I meant him. So I'd go, Harry, 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 Harry. And he'd turn round and come to my voice. So I can do it a little bit.
You can do it.
But then I think maybe like in revenge for Star Trek, I could just do the terrible California accents in this book.
That was Katrina McPherson with me on Insight in April. Scott Free, the first book in the Last Ditch Mystery series, won the 2019 Best Humorous Mystery Award at Left Coast Crime. The new book is titled Scott and Soda, and Katrina says yes, she's already hard at work on book number 3. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.